I respect the confidence the elders have put in me, and I'm thankful to stand here before you and preach the Word of God. It's a privilege and a pleasure, and we do appreciate your interest in the truth that brings us together during these uncertain times and upon this beautiful Lord's Day. And the coming together can only warm our hearts as we assemble with the finest people on earth, the people of God, on the day of which our Savior came forth from the grave to bring our worship to the one who made heaven and earth and sea and all that it is and within. And I am glad to be here. I want to talk to us just a little bit from the standpoint of the teaching work you and I do from being individual Christians. There are different expressions in this book before us today that talk about personal evangelism. Sometimes it's called soul winning. In the wisdom book of Proverbs, the wise man said, as recorded in verse chapter 11 and verse 30, he who winneth souls, you remember the rest of that, is wise. Wise people are soul winners. Based on our soul winning, how wise are we? And then sometimes it's cold fishing for men. You may recall when the Lord talked to two fishermen. He said, "Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." Matthew 4, 18 through 20. They said, "That's appealing to us. That's interesting, but can't you see we're busy right now? As soon as we get cleaned up, and we'll come pursue that." Is that what they said? You know better than that, don't you? They straightway left their net. They didn't wait. They followed him immediately. These fishermen became fishers of men. And sometimes it's called seed sowing. We sing about that song, sowing the seed of the kingdom. The psalmist in Psalms 126, verse 6, uttered, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." I've got a question for your ears I want you to contemplate. Can you count the apples in a seed? Can you? It's inspired by a song. It's not in our hymn book, so I brought a copy with me. It's called Apples in a Seed. I'd like to share it with you. In the fruitful tree there is an apple. Deep within the apple many seeds. So the Father sets all things in order, knowing just what everything would need. You may count the seeds within the apple. You may count the apples on a tree. You may count the trees within the orchard. Who can count the apples in a seed? Who can count the apples in a seed? Who can say how far the fruit will grow? Who can know the harvest of tomorrow? Who can count the apples in a seed? From the mind of God before creation, from the heart of heaven and mercy's plan, bringing peace on every tribe and nation, heaven's hope for lost and dying man. God would take the brightest star of heaven, send him down to hang upon a tree, tell the world that to Jesus is redemption, say he came to pardon you and me. Who can count the apples in a seed? Who can say how far the word will go? Who can know the harvest of tomorrow? Who can count the apples in a seed? Do not doubt that someone will believe it, though 100 may hear and turn away. For only if one heart will receive it, through that one, 1,000 may obey. It may be a gentleman of 90. It may be a child of only 10. Sow the precious seed for the Almighty and watch it multiply again. Who can count the apples in a seed? Who can say how far the word will go? Who can know the harvest of tomorrow? Who can count the apples in a seed? That makes a superb sentiment, doesn't it? Apples in a seed. This song was written by a member of the church, Ann Stevens. Her husband, Jimmy, preaches at a Church of Christ about 1,000 miles southwest of here in Seminole, Texas. A few years ago, Sister Stevens shared the story that inspired her to write the song. Shared it with a good friend of mine, Brother John Edwards. It's beautiful. The late B.C. Good Pastor told of a time when James A. Harding held a gospel meeting in Clark County, Kentucky. The year was 1877, 143 years ago. I'm going to take you back 143 years. To a time when this elder was asked about the meeting. He said, "Oh, it wasn't much of a meeting." Now, Brother Harding done his usual powerful preaching, but the results was negligible. Only little Jimmy Shepherd was baptized. Well, this little shepherd boy grew up, and he became a giant of a man. Have you ever heard the name of James W. Shepherd? He became a gospel preacher, preached in many parts of this country and other places around the world, and did some writing. I've got a book in my collection written by him I bought on eBay called Handbook on Baptism. It's a classic. The Church, The Fallen Way, The Restoration, a few of the finest books that you'd ever want to read about church history. Only little Jimmy Shepherd was baptized. Can you count the apples in a seed? I remember hearing a story one time about a gospel preacher that was asked about a meeting, and he said, "Oh, it wasn't much of a meeting, that he just baptized one scrawny little girl." Well, that scrawny little girl grew up and got married and became the mother of three gospel preachers. Can you count the apples in a seed? Some of you may be older, have some good influence on your grandchildren, great-grandchildren. You may not see it in your lifetime, but have you ever thought about the fact that there might be some folks you meet up with in heaven because of the seed you're planting today? And I hope that excites you. I hope that challenges you. We're seed sowers. Remember the parable in Luke 8, verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell on the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowl of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorn sprang up with it, and it choked it out. Another fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. There's a question asked back in the book of Haggai, chapter 2 and verse 19, that we can make application to in lots of ways. When the prophet asks, "Is a seed yet in the barn?" That's a good question, isn't it? We live in a farming community. Lots of corn, soybeans, wheat. And every farmer in Richland County knows that if you leave the seed in the barn, you're not going to raise a crop. And you and I are faced with a fat task of getting the seed out of the barn and putting it into the soil. And that seed is the Word of God. And it's precious seed. It has the ability to save your soul. James 1:21. Remember Timothy, who knew the Scripture from his child, which would make you rich into salvation? I'd like to think with us just for a little bit that some who weren't content on leaving the seed in the barn, but they'd get it out and put it in the soil. I'd like to begin talking to you about a man by the name of Andrew. It's an exciting story from John chapter 1. We're probably more familiar with his brother. His name, Peter. But in John chapter 1 and verse 40, it is recorded, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, would you save your brother, Andrew? We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted to Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Verse 42, brought him to Jesus. That's an expression of seed sowing, soul winning, fishing for men. He brought him to Jesus. We need to find souls and bring them to the Lord just like he did. Now, did you notice where he started? With his brother. Someone says, well, I'd like to do that. Where do you reckon ought to begin? Well, here's the answer. How about your own family? Do you have a brother, a sister, a parent, a child, grandchild? Somewhere along the line of your family tree, you have someone surely that needs to be found and brought to Jesus. And you may be the one to do it. And if you don't find them and bring them, who's going to and who, where are they going to be taken? So you ask. Where do you suggest I get started? Well, where did he do that? First, you ought to circle that word in your Bible. First, if you and I haven't already, we need to learn to put first things first in our life. When he found the truth in Christ, he first, before everything and anything else, found his own brother and brought him to Jesus. Someone says, well, someday I will. What's your someday? First, it's a matter of urgency from the word. And you know who he found? Peter. You know who Peter became? A disciple, an apostle, one of those most closely associated with the Lord. Often you'd find him with James and John and Jesus, like down at the Transfiguration in Matthew 17. Among those sent out by the Lord was his personal representatives. To reveal his will to mankind, he preached the first recorded gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. When the Lord needed someone to go down to a praying Gentile's house named Cornelius, you know who the Lord sent? Peter. Acts 10:11. We have two books that bear his name, 1 and 2 Peter. And when he wrote 1 Peter 5, he said, who also am an elder. You know where all that started? When his brother found him and brought him to Jesus. Who knows what the person you find and bring to the Lord will be? Come with us now to the book of Acts, in the 2nd chapter. Can you count the apples in the seed? Andrew found Peter, and Peter let down the great fishing net, if you will, and encloses a great number of fish. When in Acts chapter 2 they assembled in Jerusalem by the instruction of Jesus, caring for the promise of the Father, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and beginning to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Some folks were confusing new tongues with new wine. Peter stood up and said, these ain't drunk. It's 9 o'clock in the morning, third hour of the day. And this is what was spoken of by the prophet as he quoted from Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. A new day of divine revelation as God poureth out his spirit upon all flesh. And then he proceeded to preach Jesus. He says, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Acts 2:22. Do you know what he's doing? He's getting the seed out of the barn and he's putting it in the soil. His sermon is short. It's Christ-centered. It started with Jesus. It put Jesus in the middle, and it put Jesus at the end. It's scripture-filled. It's heart-pricking, and it's responsive-provoking. They asked, what shall we do? Acts 2:37. He didn't leave them wondering, did he? I've heard of different parts, places around the country put forth services by the Lord's people, and you don't even hear anything that would cause you to ask such a question. They leave without knowing they need to do anything. Leave without knowing what it is or why it is, and without opportunity. Shame on us. That wasn't the occasion in Acts chapter 2. As Peter said when he was asked, repent, be baptized, every one of you. That's what? In the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, that's why. And they were given opportunity. Verse 41. When they that gladly received the word were baptized, do you know when they did that? Did they save them up? Have a special day set, a time of the year when they could all get together at a convenient opportunity called a baptismal service? No, look at it. The Bible says the same day. You know, folks, the New Testament days were baptized the same hour, the same day. Do you know why? Because you may not have another day. You may not have another hour. The same day. And the Lord added them to the church. Acts 2 and verse 47. You know how many was baptized? Someone says 3,000. No, the exact number was about 3,000. Acts 2:41. Think about it. Andrew found his brother, and his brother preaches, and about 3,000 were baptized. Acts 5 says in verse 42, and daily in the temple and every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. But there was opposition. Conflict came in the form of persecution. Remember Stephen, the first martyr put to death? Acts 7, Saul was there holding the clothes, giving his consent. In Acts 8, disciples were sent forth. Saints were scattered. Verse 4, they went everywhere. What was they doing? Hiding? No, their efforts to fuel the fire, fan the flame. As the gospel spread, the church grew, and they went everywhere, up and down, preaching the word. Verse 4. And then in Acts 11, we have the rest of the story. Look at it, 11:19-20. Some come to a place called Antioch, preaching the word, preaching the Lord Jesus. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. You know what that did? That produced Antioch, the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts 13, what's the church doing? They were sending out men to preach and teach the gospel. Become the evangelistic base, if you will, by Paul and Silas and others' efforts to spread the gospel through the known world at that time. Lost souls were saved. Churches were planted. Exciting things happen, brethren, when you get the seed out of the barn and put it into the soil. And it's all from this little question. Can you count the apples in a seed? Who would motivate you to do the same? May we be inspired by these first century seed sowers, soul winners, fishers of men. And we're at your disposal. We're at your service to help you any which way we can. And it is our prayer that God will give the increase. The seed has been planted. What kind of soil are you? Have you an honest and good heart? Do you believe the word when you hear it? Are you willing to obey it? Would you be motivated to repent of your sins to make that greatest statement of faith? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Commit your life to him. Take up your cross and follow him. Be buried with him in baptism that your sins may be forgotten and forgiven by the Lord and added to the greatest family the Lord has ever known, God's family. To be faithful unto death, have you done that, but not been faithful in your life? Your heart's not right with God. You got sin that separated you from him? Do you need to say, "I have sinned"? We're happy to pray with you and for you. Won't you come now as we stand and sing the song?